Having to deal with our children's big emotions can sometimes be overwhelming, and sometimes it triggers us too. But we have to understand that those are actually good emotions, and if we handle them properly and teach them how to manage them, we're actually raising children with good emotional intelligence. So today's episode, I'm going to walk you through what those bad emotions are, what good comes from them if we handle them properly. What happens if we don't? So we're going to look at the shadow side of these emotions, and also what it's going to look like in our children, because our children don't have the words to express what they're feeling yet. So it will come across mostly as nonverbal. So we'll go through the physical signs and what the hidden needs are behind it so you can address them properly. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to go through eight big emotions today, so you better get ready. For those that don't know me, my name is Danielle C. Baker. I am the founder and CBO of Being Connected. I'm also a really registered early childhood educator with over 20 years experience, and I help parents and teachers navigate the realities of what parenting is today. Don't get it twisted. When you work with me, we're going to put the children's needs first, so we're going to have to put the ego and pride aside. And let's get to Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And we are in season three, so I do invite you to have a look at the previous seasons. There might be some topics there that could relate to your reality today. So we cover quite a wide range of different issues that we could be dealing with, and some that we don't even know we're dealing with when it comes to our children. I also have great guests who are experts in their field that can kind of help you as well. So I do invite you to have a look at those. And today is going to be a huge episode in terms of emotions. We are going to be talking specifically about the so-called bad emotions. There is no such thing as a bad emotion. We just, the way that we handle it, that can turn them into a bad thing. So our emotions are really showing us whatever is happening within us. So when there are good emotions, we're not complaining about those, but they're telling us we're happy. They're telling us, they're making us feel good. The so-called bad emotions are also telling us something that's going on in ourselves. And it is important to note here that emotions are ours. They're not somebody else's. What we are feeling is unique to us. So if we're feeling an emotion, whatever emotion that is, the people around us are not feeling that same emotion. So we have to keep in mind, as adults specifically, when we are reactive, is because we're not handling our emotion very well, and we're projecting them back to somebody else. And that's not their problem. It's an us problem. It's not a them problem. So we have to keep that in mind. We need to work on our emotional intelligence as well, because we were never taught this. So kind of keep a, when you're listening to this episode, kind of keep an open mind of how you're handling your emotions as well, because you're teaching your child through the way you handle your emotions. You can teach your child with words all you want, but they're going to watch you in action. So try to take in as much as you can today as well. And it's important to say here, and again, very important to say, we've never taught how to deal with the so-called bad emotions. We have to repress them. We don't talk about them. We turn a blind eye to them. We kind of dig them deep inside of us for them to not resurface. But unfortunately, they do. They have a job to do. So eventually they do surface back up again. So again, important to mention, and even to your children, there's no such thing as a bad emotion. There's just a bad way to handle those big emotions. We're going to go through eight of them today. And I will break it down. There is a Teacher's Corner playlist on the YouTube channel that I invite you to check. I will break it down by emotion, so you don't have to, you can go back to it when you're going through. When I do mention about the emotions, I will talk about the good of that emotion. I will talk about the shadow side. So when I say the shadow side is when we repress that emotion, when we do not address that emotion, then it bubbles up into something negative. So then that's where we get the whole idea of a bad emotion or a negative emotion. It's not the emotion itself, it's the fact that we're not addressing it that's negative. So that's something that you can start teaching your child as well, is that there's no such thing as a bad emotion. The children will automatically assume that if they have bad emotions, that means that they are bad children, and that's not the case. So we need to move away from those words of negative emotions, bad emotions. It even goes into bad behaviors. There's no such thing as a bad behavior. It's just the way that we handle it. So if we say the words bad of negative, the child will take it personally. So we need to detach that as we're teaching our children. And also very important to note that children do not know how to express their emotions. They're learning. It takes practice, and they're watching through how we handle our emotions. So a lot of their reactions are going to be nonverbal, and we're not going to pick up on them. And so it's not always about a tantrum or a meltdown or screaming, kicking, biting, hitting. So a lot of children process their emotions internally, so they're not going to make a sound necessarily. But we do need to be kind of vigilant, I guess, is the only word that comes to mind right now, is we need to pay attention to how our child is, the body language. That's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go through these eight emotions. I'm going to explain the good. I'm going to explain what happens when it turns into a bad thing, and the physical signs that your child may show about that emotion when they're experiencing that emotion, and the hidden needs, because they're not going to be able to express what they need either. This is a teachable moment. We need to teach them what there is. We need to address the need. And so I'm going to kind of walk you through that as well. And I will also direct you to my website. I don't have all of the eight emotions yet. I have some good and some negative emotions on the website. If you go into the learning tab, you will see, if you scroll down, this it explains some of the most common emotions that we hear. So we're going to jump right into it. I kept some notes so I don't sidetrack. I could talk about this all day, so I'm going to try to keep it at a reasonable time frame for today. We're going to start flat out with the biggest one, which is anger. I think that's the one that we can recognize the most. It's the most explosive, maybe the most reactive. So we can identify anger quite well. But anger is actually a very beautiful and a very powerful emotion if we look at it in a positive way, which we should, both for ourselves and our children, is that it shows what we hold dear to us. When we get angered, is because something is not happening, something is wrong with what we hold dear, what we love, what we appreciate. It could also show kind of an injustice. So we get angry when there's an injustice done on us, and the children will do the same as well. So when anger comes out, it's usually because something wasn't fair. I'm going to use the vocabulary that we teach our children here. You can transfer it into adult language if you're dealing with adults on this. But for children, it's something that's not fair. Something happened, it's not fair. Or, something happened, it's not fair, and they're getting blamed for it because they reacted. So the anger will surface. It's also if they lose something that they love, again, something that we hold dear, right? So if we were betrayed by someone that we love, or we were hurt by somebody that we were loved, then that's how the anger will show up. Now, the shadow side of anger, if we're not addressing anger, so you got to look at anger as something is unfair and something happened to something or someone that we loved. So as a parent, try to remember those two things. If your child is showing anger, instead of addressing the reaction, you're going to need to address what caused it, right? The trigger. So what happened? Let them talk, let them express it. They don't have the words for it, so they're going to stumble on their words. They're already upset, so it's going to be hard for them to find their words. But just find out what it is, what was unjust, and don't belittle it, right? Don't ever say, oh, that's nothing. No, don't be ridiculous, that's nothing. Because their emotions are very real. Again, emotions are personal, right? So don't belittle your child's emotions because now you're creating shame. We're gonna go into shame later, and that is a very toxic emotion if it's not addressed properly. So anger, when it's not addressed, turns into its shadow side, which now becomes the negative or bad emotion, and that's aggressiveness, right? So we've all experienced anger. We do want to punch a wall sometimes, or we do, get very aggressive, and children will show you that. So if your child is not able to express their anger right away, but you see that they have aggressive behaviors, again, for those who do internalize their emotions, if they start getting aggressive, even if they're not actually, throwing stuff or hitting or biting somebody, but if they're just playing a little bit more rough with their toys, that could be a sign that they may be experiencing anger, maybe at a low level, but they're still experiencing. So keep an eye out for that. The non-verbal kind of the signs, physical signs of what that may look like, what anger may look like in your child, is a lot of the times you can feel that their heart is beating faster. It's hard to explain, but we can actually tell their breath will be kind of shallow. They'll be like, they may have clenched fists, or clenched jaw, teeth, and then that shortness of breath. Usually they could be red in the face, depending on your child. And you're going to see that some of these signs kind of show up in other emotions as well. But your child, so you will see it in their face. They're kind of all tense. The shoulders may come up. They're ready to fight. Just think of, I'm ready to fight. Those will be the physical signs. So you can see it even if they're not flat out screaming, kicking, punching. All of that, you will see it in them. You can actually stop it before it gets to that. So you do need to be observing your child. Even when you think they're being quiet, they could be going through some stuff. What do they need when they're expressing anger? That every child, when they have an emotion, there's a need to be addressed. That's their way. Their emotions is their way to communicate with you. So we tend to focus on the words. But our children don't have that many words, so it'll come out in some emotions. It is a way, it is a language in itself, so you need to play detective on that. But a lot of the times, the needs that your child, what your child needs when they're expressing anger is that they need to be heard. Again, that injustice, it's not fair. So they need to be heard. You need to give them time to be able to explain to you what they happened. Don't reason with them, and they might not be able to express it right away. When you're in an angry state, the logical side of your brain shuts down. You're in survival mode now, so they're not going to be able to process, to think, to problem solve. So let the storm pass if they are in a full blowout anger. And the anger blowout, and then address it and say, okay, you were very angry. Name the emotion. That's anger. You were very angry. Look at you. How do you feel in your body? Start identifying those parts, physical signs, so that they can address it later, and it helps them self-regulate. They need to be heard. Let them. It's going to be messy. They might be screaming. Don't tell them to lower their voice. Don't you yell at me. Don't do that. Just let them. It needs to come out because you don't want it to become aggressive. They need self-affirmation, so they do need to speak up. I really like that toy and somebody took it. That could be an example. Or, somebody said something mean about me and I really thought they were my friend. So yes, they will be sad. They will be angry. And you do need to just let them vent. But then control it a little bit so it doesn't get out of hand. And they do need either kind of reparations or a change. So when I say reparations, is if there wasn't an injustice, we do have to make sure that, if their toy was taken away from them, let's say, that we give it back, reparations. If or you apologize, or whatever it is that is needed depending on the situation, or a change. If something gets them angry every time, whether it's something that you do or the situation that is happening, we need to change that so that it doesn't happen again. And we need to show them that they can trust us with that, so that they can express that anger. So anger can be very good to know where your child needs more help from you. And so we can't disregard it. And it helps us as well to figure out when we get angry, when we get triggered, what is it that's bothering me? What's really happening right now? And again, tell them that anger is a way to show you where they need help. So when you feel angry, you ask them, how does it feel in your body? Do you feel like your teeth, your and so, okay, when you feel that in your body, that's the way that you know. That's your body's way of telling you you're angry right now and you need help. So go get help. Those are the most important points to teach your child when it comes to anger, so that they know that they can go get some help from you, that you're a safe adult, and that they will be safe in that emotion and process it. By asking them how they feel in their body would also help for sort of self-regulation, because then you can teach them, and I'm not going to go over them in this episode, but you can teach them how to handle that with breathing, with all sorts of different self-soothing techniques that works for your child. But identifying if they can't, children are very, they work with their senses. So if they can't tell you how it feels in their body, it's okay, you're really angry right now. If that had a color, what color would it be? They'll throw a color at you, and then you say, okay, so why is it that color? What is it about that color? And what color would make it better? You kind of work that out. It helps them calm down. It is a self-soothing technique. So you could tell them when you feel that, think of the color that will make the anger go away. That'll help you calm down. You still need to get help. And very important for children, because this is something that we see a lot in schools and in child care centers in terms of behaviors, because that's what the children are seeing in the adults, is you need to make them understand that it's their emotion. It's not somebody else's fault that they feel that way. Yes, somebody may have caused an injustice. Yes, something happened to make them angry, but this is for them to process. It's not for them to transfer over to somebody else, to make it somebody else's problem. So that's why it's not okay to hit. That's why it's not okay to punch, to bite, to throw everything, break stuff, yeah, all of that. This is where the learning time is, and it's important to learn early. You could do this as early as they start expressing anger. Of course, you go with their age group, age-appropriate explanations, but even a two-year-old can be explained that no, we don't throw when we're angry. We don't throw stuff. We don't rip stuff. Let me show you what we can do instead, and then you take it from there. So that's anger. That's a big one. I'm not going to take that long with all of them, but it's anger is a tough one to handle in any situation when it comes to our children. So if we don't address it properly, this is where we get problems into the teen years and the adult years as well. So we want to address it properly very early on. The next one is sadness. Now, sadness is a very natural reaction to the loss of something or of someone that we love. So it's very natural. Again, there's nothing bad about it. There's nothing negative about it. We grew up suppressing sadness. Can't show your emotions. Can laugh, no problem. And that's an emotion, but you can't cry. That makes no sense. But that's the world we live in. We need to change that. So sadness is something, usually a very natural reaction when we're losing something or someone we love. It could be caused by deception as well. Of course, you're sad. It could be a loss of toy, loss of a person, loss of trust. Of course, you're going to feel sad. And this is the point that's very important to teach children and adults, because a lot of us don't think we weren't taught this either. Sadness is not linear. It's not something that goes away over time. It will progressively, but it's not linear. It's not a straight line. I'm sad, I'm sad, I'm sad. Okay, I'm good. And then I'm good. It's a wave. You'll have moments where, especially if you're losing something or someone that you love, there will be times where you're okay, you're happy, you're not sad anymore, and then something will happen that will kind of bring it back down. So when you're talking about grief, grieving, especially when it comes to the loss of a pet, that person, or moving, loss of the house, loss of memories, it comes in waves. So don't say, well, why are you still sad about this? Don't make them, again, you're bringing shame to your child. That's not what we want to do. So, and don't forget that for little ones, We're always thinking about being sad for big losses, but for them, it could just be that they outgrew their favorite shoes. That's a big loss. They changed teachers. That's a big loss. So, the leaves on the trees fell because it's fall. That's a big loss for the, there's so many things. So again, don't belittle the sadness. It is a real emotion for your child, and you need to help them through it so that they don't get into the shadow side. And this is where I'm getting at right now, that if we're not addressing it properly, then the shadow side of it is it could be irritability. So now the child will get irritable when there's certain situations. It could be very reactive, or numbness. You have the both extremes there. Numbness, they will completely dissociate because it's too much of a big emotion to handle. You don't want that. We know what happens when we disassociate, and we know what happens when we get irritable. So we really have to find that balance in our child. And again, just say, okay, how does that feel in your body? You're feeling it. The nonverbal signs, the physical signs of a child being sad is, of course, they're going to feel a tightness. They may feel a tightness in their throat. Of course, tears. They'll be crying. That's the most common one, but it's not necessarily, not all sad children will cry. And that's where you need to be careful, because that's a big red flag if your child is not able to cry. Not in a negative, something wrong with your child, but it's in the way that they're processing the emotion, right? The mouth is drooping, they're sad. It could be trembling as well. Some of them will shake, halted breathing. We've seen that, especially if they had a big cry and they're like, or just like a halted breath as well. So those are signs that they could be. But when you see that your child is experiencing sadness, do tell them you're sad. This is sad. How does that feel in your body? They can't express it, because sometimes it can be a tummy ache or a headache. These usually go inside. They may have more trouble sleeping as well. But ask them to identify. If they can't, give it a color, give it a shape. Some kids go into shape and say, okay, so if they go with a shape, let's say, I don't know, I'm inventing one now, but if they say a square, okay, so what shape do we need to not make you sad anymore? And then they'll give you another shape and focus on that and work that way. Your child, so you kind of work your way through into a positive spin. But you do need to tell them again that it's very normal to feel sad, that it is a loss, and that things will get better. So let's make things better, and don't belittle it. You got nothing to cry about. This is nothing. You don't do that, because now you're telling them that they're unworthy. And that's not what we want to be telling, teaching our children, right? But the need, kind of the hidden need, that what they need from you, what they're actually telling you in this sadness, is that they need time to grieve, whatever that is. It could just be that they lost the rock that they picked up from a walk home type of thing. It can be little, it can be very little, right? But it's not little to them. So they need time to grieve. Sit with them, comfort them. You're not spoiling them when you're dealing with a real emotion. Okay, we gotta get that out of our thoughts as well. Give them time to grieve. And again, it's a wave. So they'll be fine, and all of a sudden they'll start, they'll see a friend with a rock and that looked like theirs, and now they're gonna get sad again. So give them time, and go with the wave, right? Ride the wave. They do need a lot of comforting. So again, children, when they're really going through a sadness, they need that comforting. It's not, toughing them up, because then you're going to get into disassociation and disorders. We don't want that. So they need acceptance and love to say, it's okay, this happened, you're sad, we still love you, you're still loved, you're still important, you're still, especially if it's somebody that had to move away, or if they lost someone. To say that, you're make them feel the love, that they're still lovable, they're still worthy. And self-expression, when they are able to express themselves, let them. If they're crying, let them. If you feel uncomfortable, that's a you problem. Let your child process that emotion. Just be there for them and support them. In terms of the lesson, what you want to teach your child in this, when they're experiencing sadness, is to tell them that it's okay to grieve, and to take the time to grieve, so that it will eventually get better. And it also comes in waves, so you tell them, because as adults sometimes you're like, shouldn't I be over this already? You know, if you, especially if you loved a lo lost a loved one, and then some, you know, celebrations are coming up and they come to mind. You know, their birthdays, they come to mind. Their going away date comes to mind, and it brings that sadness again. So you get these waves. So just tell them it'll come and go. It's okay. You know what to do now. Let's do it again. And I'm here for you. And just tell them you are loved. And that's the best thing that you could do for your child. We're going to move on to guilt. That is an interesting one. You're feeling guilty. What is very important, I'll talk to the adults as well, because we have a hard time dealing with guilt as well. This is where we project a lot. When we feel guilty, we'll project it on this. Oh, well, you did this, or you made me do that, or that's where all the reasons come up, right? But it's guilt is all usually not founded. Like it's not, it's something that we are creating in our mind, in a sense that there is no reason for you to feel guilty, but you do somehow. And that stems from childhood traumas. So I'm not going to get into that, but it's usually you feel guilty because it's a result of having, you were made to believe that you were a burden to someone when you were a child. Right? So that's why I say that we can't belittle our children's emotions. We can't. We have to be careful how we handle, process their emotions. We have to be careful how we process our emotions, because we're making them feel like they're a burden, right? If we keep telling you, ah, this again, you know, now they're a burden. So they're going to switch into guilt mode. So you don't want that. So what I was saying that it's usually not founded is that you may feel guilty because you didn't react properly, but depending on the situation, you may just make it a lot heavier than it was. I'm not disregarding the emotion. But when we go into a more technical definition of guilt, we're talking about some pretty major offense. And so if you feel guilty, already you know you're not a bad person. We do make mistakes, but if you feel guilty, then you're a good person. You handle the situation, and there's something that you need to do to rectify that. Most of the time, if you are so-called a bad person, you wouldn't feel guilt as to what you did. So you could kind of teach your child that it's okay to feel guilty. It's actually a good thing if you feel guilty, because then that means that you are a good person. You just made a bad decision, or you know, we did a bad something that wasn't right, and let's make it right. So that's the lesson that's going to come to it. Some of the signs that your child may be guilty, because that is a tough one, even as an adult. We focus on how we feel inside. We don't necessarily focus on how our nonverbal or physical signs are. But for children, it's usually muscle tension. Like they're just tense all the time because they feel, you know, they feel guilty. There's something that's really bothering them, and they tense up. They could also have issues with their sleeping. They may not be able to sleep anymore. There's some kind of disruption in their sleep pattern because they do feel guilty. Digestive issues that usually comes up. Big emotions usually causes stomach ache, headaches. They can't explain anything else. That's just how they feel. They could avoid eye contact as well. If they've done something wrong, they know they've done something wrong, and now they're asking, did you do that? And they can't look at you in the eye. Again, you have to be careful. In some cultures, eye contact is viewed as disrespectful. So put it in the context that suits your reality. They could be shaking as well because they feel really bad. So again, keep an eye out on that. And sometimes we expect that they may be feeling guilty because they ate something they knew they weren't supposed to. They may have, you know, broken something, or they lied on their brother or sister to so that they don't get in trouble. But sometimes feeling guilty is just because you may have yelled at them, or you may not have handled the situation properly. They were not at fault. It was just you that had a bad day and snapped on your child, and now they can't figure out what they did wrong to make you mad. So now they're putting the guilt on themselves. Or if parents are arguing, they may think they're gonna think they're not. I'm not saying they may, they will think it's their fault. If parents are arguing, if there's conflicts in the family, if you are angry with the sibling, you're fighting with the neighbor, you know, you're screaming at the driver that cut you off, all of those things, your child's going to think it's their fault. So they're going to feel guilty about that. So just pay attention to the nonverbal, how you react. Your child will take the blame for it. If you're sad, or mad, they're going to think it's their fault. They don't know how to fix it. So they're a bad person. So they feel guilty because they love you. That's all. It's a big thing. So just know that, keep an eye out. Those are the signs that is really bothering them. It's eating away at them. Again, if you notice them, it's okay. This is, if you figured out it is guilt, how does that feel in your body? What are you feeling right now? Where is it tense? Where is it? Give it a color or whatever. The hidden need behind that, when you do realize that it is guilty, you identify it, they feel guilt. They need reassurance. They need to know that they are not a bad person. They may have made a bad choice or a bad decision or a bad behavior, but they are not bad. So you just have to rectify whatever it is that you did, whether it's an apology, whether we have to change our behavior, right? That's really what it comes down to. So just tell them that that's what it is. If they feel guilty for something, the way that you reacted, if they're blaming themselves for something that you're going through, then just tell them it's not your fault. This is our adult situation that has nothing to do. We love you. Reassure them that way as well. But the change behavior, rectifying the issue, what can we do better next time so that we don't feel this way again? That kind of thing, that helps a lot. The shadow, I kind of skipped that, but the shadow side of guilt, if you don't address guilt or if you make them feel guilty for feeling guilty, that's in a whole other thing. They will be eventually withdrawal and avoidance. And we know what happens. And then there's a lot of anxiety, and it will switch over to shame as well. So those are some pretty deep emotions, again, that you don't want to do it. So again, the major lesson that you want to teach your child there is, if you think you did something bad, what can we do to make it better? And what can we do to make sure it doesn't happen again? And to just to say you made a bad choice, made a bad decision, you had a bad behavior, but that doesn't make you bad, right? And just work with that. We're gonna go over to shame. I mentioned that, and that one is pretty tough. That's shame is usually, I have to say, from my experiences, both personally and professionally, shame is usually the root of all of our adult issues when we come down to it. I'm laughing, it's not funny, but shame stems for most of our issues. And it doesn't take much to shame a child, so that's why it's so important to address it properly. So shame comes when you're acting against your values. And this is why it gets tricky, because we're not even taught about values, and our children won't know that they have values. But values, your core values, is who you are at the core. So if you're going against who you are, you're going to feel shame because it feels out of character. It doesn't feel like it came from you. So you'll feel ashamed about it. It also comes from other people's comments. It will come about the thought that you think you're a burden, or that you're not good enough for your parents, so it's, or anybody else around you. So it's a pretty deep cut when we're talking about shame. There's shadow side of shame. If it's not addressed, if we don't correct it early enough, or at least help our children process it in a healthy way, then we're leading into self-sabotage. You're gonna feel useless, unworthy, unlovable, and it'll bring you to a very dark place. So that's why shame cannot be disregarded, even if it makes us uncomfortable, because it's a dark place to be when you go on the shadow side. When it comes to shame, like I said, if especially if you're belittling your child's emotions, or like, oh, don't be so tough, or don't be so soft, I mean, or this is nothing, why are you crying? It's, I've gone through some worse things. Now they think they are bad. And then that's where the root cause of most of us is, I am bad. I'm not good enough. All of that fun stuff. So be careful when you're talking to your child, or when you're talking around your child. You need to stay in check. The signs of what shame could look like for your child, if they're not going to be able to flat out say that they're ashamed, is a lot of times is that lowered head, right? I can't make eye contact. I'm shaking. The whole body is like they're trying to fold themselves into themselves, avoiding eye contact again, depending on the context that you're in. Sometimes they could be blushing or sweating. They could hide. Some of them will just flat out hide. And so those would be signs that they're ashamed or guilty. So that's when you need to know more about your child. The hidden need before that, what they need from you when they're showing shame, is they need to feel safe. You need to tell them that it's okay, and that we still love you, that there's nothing wrong with you. You're not bad. We're just having a moment and it's okay. They need to feel that connection. So again, it's not something to say, oh, come on, toughen up. Just sitting with them. You don't need to talk to them. Just sit with them, proximity, and they feel safe so that give them a sense of worth to say, no, you're lovely. Look how great you are. And, reassuring them. That's very, very important. So the lesson that you want to teach them there, the teachable moment would be that it's okay. Everything is okay. Then let them know you are loved. If they really feel ashamed about whatever it is, if they did something or they feel shame somehow, then just show them. Focus on what they are good at, right? To kind of put the focus on the positive again. Focus on what you appreciate about them. Show them, not just tell them, but show them. Remember when you did this, I really appreciate you're a good person. You help me. You help your brother. You help this, you do this. Focus on the good things because now they think they're a bad, that your child thinks I am bad. I'm a bad person. So show them the good things. Give them tangible proof that they are a good person so we can move away from that shadow side. We're gonna move on to jealousy. That's another big one, and it's another tough one. Then the rest of the emotions I'm going to go through, the signs are very similar. So you're really going to have to do some detective work to figure it out. And as if your child, your child, if you're a teacher, then it's just as you get to know your student more, you'll understand it a bit more. Jealousy will hide behind anger and contempt. All right, so it reveals sadness and dissatisfaction, I guess I could say. But there's a really good side to jealousy, and this is where a lot of people were like, "What?" Jealousy shows you what you would like to achieve, right? Because usually when you envy somebody, it's because they have something or they're doing something you wish you could do. You wish you could do. So it's a dream, right? So in order to make that, to keep that emotion a positive thing, we need to say, okay, so if I don't like this person, I'll give you an example that we hear a lot now. You're envious of a person. You don't like this person because they're always traveling. You wish you could travel, but you can't. Okay, so why can't you? That jealousy is showing you where you're stopping yourself from living the life that you actually want, right? So you could be jealous for children, they could be just jealous because they're better at them at a sport. Okay, so you really like this sport. So let's work on it. What do you need to get better? What kind of practice do we need? What else are you good at? Those kind of things. So it shows you your goals, basically. It's not a bad thing. When you think about it, it was like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know where I want to be with my life. I don't know. So, okay, so who do you envy? Who do you envy? That's exactly where you want to be. If you want the l lavish, luxurious lifestyle, okay, so you need to get there. So what can you do to get there? You want those trips around the world. Okay, so what do you need to get there? Those are your goals. They're your new goals. So it's a good thing. But if you don't address it properly, though, then you kind of go into envy, and that's bad because now you're going to start getting that resentment and that anger, and it's going to start to fester. So it will just kind of crush your self-esteem. It will crush your confidence because now you're not good enough. This is where it's very important when it comes to jealousy as adults, but to teach our children too, is it's jealousy should not be something that we use against somebody. So now we hate this person because they are doing what we're stopping ourselves from doing. Okay. So Again, our emotions are ours. They're not somebody else's. So you have to deal with your emotion. Don't project it onto somebody to say, oh, all rich people are bad people. No, that's not it at all. So that's an example. That's the most common example I can think of. I think everybody can relate to that one. That all doctors want to harm you. You know, those kind of things. That's not it at all. Right? Our all teachers are out to the all teachers want our children medicated. No, that's not it at all. So don't project onto what you're feeling. Don't project it on. Just figure out what it is that you need from that. And yeah, we'll open up our eyes to what we would like to accomplish, like I said earlier. So you're the person you're jealous of is doing it. Right? So that's why you don't like this person. But technically you don't like yourself because you're not doing it. Of course, with children, if they're jealous of a fifth grader and they're in grade one, of course they're not going to be able to play soccer like the fifth grader. But you can help your child in explaining and then show them what they're good at. And you know, say that that fifth grader is this good because they practiced a lot. They played a lot longer than you have. If you keep working at it, you will get there. This shows you what you can do when you get to that age. So there's a positive way to handle that. And it's very important with siblings because that's where usually the jealousy starts, right? That sibling rivalry can get pretty heavy, so you need to be very on point, if I can say. You have to be very alert to how jealousy shows up between the siblings, because now they're going to be jealous over your attention. If they are jealous of their younger, you know, if they're when there's a new baby coming in, they might be jealous because the baby's getting more attention. So they're jealous because they want more attention. So to that tells you they need a bit more attention from you, right? So you got to work that balance out. The physical signs of jealousy can be a tantrum, just full out. They don't want to admit, and they're just jealous of the situation or the person, and they could throw a tantrum. They could start hitting. They could start crying. They can refuse to share. This is very common in children because they're jealous of their sibling. They're jealous of their friend. They don't want to share because if they are looking for attention, this is the biggest thing, especially in classrooms. If the child wants attention from the adult, and then they know that if they don't share the toy, the adult's going to come to them to talk to them, they're getting their attention. So now they're registering that if I want my parents' attention, if I want the teacher's attention, all I have to do is not share. So we have a role to play in that. We need to make sure that we balance that out for them. They could have, again, that stomach ache and headaches are usually and hardly ever a physical thing. It's often just an emotion that they can't process. So you do need to do a little bit of detective work there. They could also lose their appetite, just because it's really gnawing at them. Jealousy is, it can be, the shadow side of jealousy can be rough physically too. So just remember that jealousy just tells you where you want to be, what you want to accomplish. So it's actually showing you where what you need to do to get there. What do they need? They need, first of all, you need to see, most of the time children will need attention. They need it for attention. They need it to feel like they're worth something. So again, it's in the situation where a child is better at sports than they are, then focus on what they're good at and focus on the level that they're at. You're good for what you can do. So let's see, you know, what else do you want to work on? Because it takes practice, right? If they're just jealous of their sibling because they want attention, then, you know, they need attention from you. And that's the only way that they know how to do it. So when they're excluding people in their friend group because they're jealous of them, if they're, you know, if they're afraid of people because they're jealous of them, there's different emotions there. So usually you can pick up on that. They need reassurance. They need to be told that they're just as good, and that if that's what they like, if they really would like to be able to do that, or to have those toys, or to wear those clothes, or to look, a certain way, then let's see what we can do with to make it our own. We don't want to be imitating people either, right? So how can we make it our own? And listen to them without judgment, to say, oh, come on, it's ridiculous. Well, you're jealous of that, or well, your little brother or your little sister does need more attention. Don't be silly. Those are the kind of words that will hurt them, because now you're crushing them. You're telling them their emotions are not important. So just tell them, I can understand, and I know I want to spend more time. So what could we do? When the baby is sleeping, what could we do together to spend some time? Sometimes they don't even need you to spend time with them. You could just have them sit next to you if you're changing the diaper, or if you're feeding the baby, just have them sit next to you, curl up, and they'll feel much better. We're going to move on to resentment. That is a tough one with children. Resentment is something that builds up. Resentment is very tricky when it comes to children, because it's something that builds up. There's other emotions at play first that builds up to resentment. So resentment can often be the shadow side of another emotion. So with young children who haven't had many life experiences, resentment can be difficult to pinpoint for them. It's hard on adults to be able to identify it. So it's much harder with children. But resentment comes from being deceived by our expectations. We expected so much more. We expected people to behave a certain way. We expected people to treat us a certain way, but that was a projection of our needs onto somebody. It's not realistic. So of course, they couldn't hold up to that expectation, and so now you're disappointed. And disappointment will, if you don't address it, will fester into resentment. So people that did not meet our expectations that we imagined on them, or that we kind of pushed on them, they disappoint us, that kind of thing. So, or we keep projecting things on them, but and then we realize that that's what we're doing it, so now we resent the whole thing. It's not easy, especially to explain to a child. If a young child is feeling resentment, you really need to look at your family dynamic, because that's the shadow side of resentment is a poison, basically. So if a young child is feeling resentment, there's definitely a lot there. There's a lot going on. You're going to need to seek outside help to take care of that. For older children, you can see that it'll start building up. The shadow side of it is avoidance again, self-doubt, the distortion of self, because they keep expecting things from others. There's things that they actually need, and they're expecting people to provide that for them, as opposed to finding it in themselves. They will get distorted image of themselves. So it is a poison. You're just kind of slowly disrupting self, and sometimes that can split, and you can get other sorts of disorders there as well. So it's not an emotion you want to keep inside for very long. The good side about resentment, if you get to that, and we will eventually at some point in our life, we will, in our friendships, in our relationships, and even at work, is that it shows you. It helps us to see people for who they truly are. We project an image of people when we meet them. We want them to be this way. We want our friends to act a certain way. We want them to provide things for us, the attention that we need, the love that we need, the validation that we need, the support that we need. But that's unrealistic. They're going through their own things. So when they disappoint us, they're showing us who they truly are. So it is a good thing in a sense when you get to the resentment stages, is to take a step back. This is the healthy way to address it. Take a step back and say, all right, so they're not the person I thought they were. You get to see this, and then it's up to you to decide, do I keep this on and keep festering in this poison, or do I let them go? Right? And this is how you teach your children to set healthy boundaries. So there's some people out there that will keep disappointing you. You don't stay in friendships or in relationships or in workplaces where you get to the point where you resent your workplace, where you resent your partner, where you resent some of your friends, because you need to set those boundaries and say that's not acceptable. No, I don't accept that, and you move on. So you can only teach your children that by doing it yourself. So you're gonna have to deal with your resentment issues and teach your child as they grow older and they start showing signs of resentment. You need to address it right away to tell them, okay, so this is clearly not what we expected. So what do we have to do now to make sure we don't get disappointed, we don't get hurt, we don't get deceived again, right? We have to teach them. The signs for that in a child, again, it's hard because they don't really get to that point until a bit later on, or unless they've been around very toxic people. But stomach and headaches, that's like it shows up in everything. As soon as your child has a stomach ache or a headache, something's up, right? It's very seldom an actual physical issue. It's usually related to an emotion. So they can be irritable as well. They can withdraw from activities. They don't want to be around those family members anymore. They don't want to be participating in any activity because they're going to get let down again. So why bother? Right? So they're going to work with that. They can have outbursts, like anger-ish outbursts. So those are usually signs of resentment. And then the need behind that. What do they need at that point from you? If it's something that they're constantly being hurt or deceived or let down, then there's forgiveness involved. Forgiveness is your answer to many of those traumas, those wounds. So apologies, changed behaviors, no choice, that's got to happen. Also to have a healthy conversation on what the expectations are, right? Explain to them that you expected that, but that's not realistic. They can't do that for whatever reason it is. It's not realistic, so let's find another way, right? So it doesn't happen again. You have to, because again, resentment stems from other emotions that will lead to resentment. So we need to identify the root emotion that led to feeling that, right? So which other emotion is attached to that feeling? And usually anger and sadness. Anger and sadness are usually the cause of resentment eventually. So keep an eye on it. They usually there's usually a combo there. It's not just an emotion on its own. And just a few more. No, we got a couple more left to go. So we're going to move on to regrets. And regrets is actually a very good emotion in the sense that it allows us to lean towards the future. So a lot of the times we associate regret to the past, right? We regret what was done in the past, but we can't change the past. If we don't want the past to repeat itself, then we need to think, what do we need to change for the future so it doesn't happen again? So regret actually can help you move away from the past. If you handle it in a healthy way, you move away from the past, you move on forward into the future. So it's a good thing. We regret what we don't have. So what do we need to do to get it? Or what can we substitute to do it, right? So it helps us to show up better for tomorrow, basically. It's kind of the feel for it. So it is a good emotion when you think about it. It's there for a reason. It's there to show us how we can move forward with things or what changes we can make in our lives to have a better life, to grow, to evolve. The shadow side of it is guilt and shame. Of course, those are some pretty rigid emotions as well. You could feel shame that you haven't achieved what you wanted to do. You could feel shame for the way that you behaved in the past or what happened in the past. You could feel guilty because you may have been the cause of something that created regret, a loss of some kind that you regret acting a certain way. And that can also lead to self-punishment because of that shame and that guilt. So it could get a pretty heavy if you don't address it. For children, the physical signs of regret could be that they start getting clingy, right? They want to go back to when things were better, things were easier before that moment that caused the regret. So they'll try to kind of start. They need validation, so they'll get a little clingy. They will regress back to younger behaviors that, again, they want to go back to when it was all okay before they started feeling regret. There could be some changes in their sleep patterns. They could get irritable. They could get hyperactive as well. They just get like, super hyper because, again, of that regret. They don't understand what's happening in their world anymore, and they just don't know if they can get that back. So they could get hyperactive, and they could also frequently cry for what seems like no reason. But again, it's just because they miss whatever didn't happen in the past or did happen that they didn't want to happen. So the need that they have at that point from you is again reassurance. It's okay, we're going to move on. So what can we do to make sure that doesn't happen again? All right, and we move forward. Let's do that. Let's change the behavior. Let's change the environment. Let's change the way we talk. And just to be heard as well, let them talk about what it is that they regret. And again, just comforting them, reassuring them, and supporting them in that, into moving forward into the future. So we can't change the past. So now, what can we do to make sure it doesn't happen tomorrow? What I like to use in this case is, okay, it's teaching you to make better decisions. So we made a bad decision. We're regretting it now, right? Hindsight is always 20/20. So what can we do now to make sure? So you just make better decisions. It's part of life. It's a learning process, right? Our last emotion is fear. That's another one that is more common that we can pinpoint a lot faster in children. Anger and fear are usually the easier ones to manage, not to manage, but to identify. And it's the fear is really, it's like a lack of control over a threat, what you perceive as a threat. Now, for children, everything is a threat because they're so vulnerable. They can't defend themselves. They need to rely on so many people for them to stay alive. So the brain, the survival mode is hyper vigilant there. So they have a lot of fears, a lot of unexplained fears. Very important not to belittle their fears because those fears are real, right? They cannot control whatever it is that they think is a threat. So it's a big emotion for a child to process. They're afraid of everything until they understand what it is. And once you understand what it is, you're not afraid anymore. That's kind of how you explain it. The shadow side of fear is anxiety, a lot of anxiety, disconnection. Some of them will actually disassociate because they just can't deal with it. The brain just kicks in. And they could also feel anger. So that's a weird one to associate to fear. But yes, they can get angry when they're feeling fear because they're out of control. They don't have control, I should say. The physical signs of fear, of course, is trembling, shaking, rapid heartbeat, again, rapid breathing, very shallow breathing. They could have damp hands, sweaty hands, raised eyebrows. That you see that a lot in younger children. The eyes, like they're afraid. They're really afraid. So if you see that, it's not a joke, right? Don't joke around with it. Don't belittle it because now you're going into guilt, shame, all of the other pretty dark shadow sides of emotions. So they could also freeze. That's part of the brain, right? They could just be completely frozen. Sometimes they're not even breathing. So that is your sure sign of fear. Don't belittle it. What they do need from you at that point is reassurance. Again, very reassuring to say you're okay, you're safe, I'm here for you. They need to feel protected. I'm here for you. You're safe. You're protecting them. They need help. Sometimes they are afraid because they don't think they can do whatever it is that they need to do, right? If they're learning to swim, they could have a fear of jumping in the water because that is a threat. I don't know how to swim. I can die. It is a real emotion. It's not something to laugh about or to belittle them. Say, don't be a baby, jump. Just say, look, I'm right here. Do it slowly, encourage them so that they can finally jump in the water and you're there to catch them. Encouragement, like I just said. Going up on stage alone when they're doing a dance recital, even if they're not alone, there's a group, they will be afraid. Those are big, 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 big emotions. As adults, we have a hard time with that. So they will have it. Encouragement, protection. You're safe. You're not in danger. I'm here. We're smiling. We're good. So that's what I have for you with those eight emotions. It's a lot. And like I said, I'm going to break it down into the teacher's play, the teacher's corner. Just the individual emotions. And if you check on the website, you will find some more with the good emotions too, with joy, happiness. I have disgust in there as well for our teenagers when they get disgusted. How to deal with that. It's on there as well. And if you need more information, you can always contact me and I can send you some more information on that as well, especially for the nonverbal stuff. It's very helpful. So again, the big thing is to remember that our emotions are ours. So we cannot project them onto other. If we don't want to deal with our emotions, we cannot be dumping them on somebody else to deal with. That's not right, right? So we need to do that. We must learn what these emotions are teaching us. We don't complain when we're laughing, when we're happy. We don't complain when we're living moments of joy. So we can't be complaining when we're angry either. They're teaching us what we need to work on ourselves or where we're at in our development. So it's very important. But certainly, you will never hear somebody attacking somebody for being happy. So why would you do it when you're sad, right? They're just emotions. They're just emotions. They are very important, but they're yours. They don't have anything to do with anybody else. The key takeaways on this would be to make sure you reassure your child, you name that emotion, you give it a name, a proper name, so that they can remember that that's how I'm feeling. Always ask them, how does that feel in your body? You're feeling ashamed right now. What does that feel? And if they can't say it, say, so well, let's look in the mirror. They might not want to look in the mirror for shame because they're already ashamed and say, I can see your shoulders like touching your ears right now. Can we bring them back down? And then have them breathe, that kind of thing, so that they recognize the signs in themselves. When they're at school or at a friend's house, they're going to know when my ears are touching my shoulders, it might be something there, right? So how can we bring that back down? Show them the techniques. There's so much information on that as well, on how we can help our child self-regulate, self-soothe. Non-judgment. Do not ever judge your child for what they're feeling. Their emotions are real. They're real. You may not think so because it's nothing to you, but for a child, it's everything to them. So those are the key to reassure them, show them that they're loved, that it's okay. It's just an emotion that's going to pass, just like all the other emotions. We don't laugh uncontrollably 24 hours a day. It's going to be the same when we're afraid. It's not going to last. The things that you really do need to avoid is disregarding the emotion. They'd be like, ah, that's nothing. Stop being a baby. You can't do that. We're teaching them what those emotions are. So by disregarding them or belittling them, now we're creating more shame, guilt. We're creating issues for later on in the adult years. We also avoid comparing them to how it was like for you. Well, that's so ridiculous. I was never afraid of the dark, Don't do that. Don't compare it to you. You don't understand. You're sad. That's nothing. I've gone through so much worse. Don't do that. That's your issue, not your child's issue. So these are the key takeaways after all of this. It is a longer episode, but those are important. They're really at the core of how our children are going to grow and evolve into adults that are healthy, right? And that they can take care of themselves, they can set boundaries, and they can help people around them as well. So make sure you keep track of how you react to those big emotions so that then you can show the example for your children. And show them how to handle them properly. It's going to help you. It's going to help your children. It's going to help the world. That's what we want to do. So I will leave you with that. If you have any questions, again, don't hesitate to contact me. All the information is in whatever platform you're listening from. The information is there. I am a real person. I will answer unless you're just trying to waste my time. And Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. Don't forget to go back to the older episodes from season one and season two. Might be something there that might speak to you for the reality or whatever it is that you're going through right now. So again, thank you so much for joining me today. Until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.